B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
For some info on how the Eagles might approach this game, let's go to the man that we talk to weekly for the Eagles Midweek Report. He's the man that covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. His name is Tim McManus. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Timmy.
Mike, how you doing today?
Doing all right. Now, Tim, I looked at this game and I go, no way. But, I'm looking at the line. I'm looking at this stat I just read about Lamar Jackson being last in the NFL in completion percentage, pass yards per game, and yards per attempt. Can the defense actually keep the Eagles in this game where they can steal it?
I mean, I'm not banking on that. I think that first of all, the Ravens defense is the best in the mm-hmm. NFL. That's a really tough task. And on the other side of things, I feel like the Eagles defense has struggled with offenses that present a lot of misdirection, and Lamar Jackson puts more strain on the front seven than any player in the NFL. So you don't know if he's going to take off and run. You don't know if he's going to hand it off and, you know, they can put some jet sweeps on top of that. So I think it's a really tough task. The one thing that you can look at as a positive is that the Ravens' passing attack has not been what it was last year. And so if that continues to be the case and they can focus and concentrate more on the running game, then maybe they have a shot. But, you know, this is a tall order for them.
All right, let's look at the defensive coordinator because, as we know, the defensive coordinator this week has been on broil. Especially after some things he had to say yesterday, which kind of didn't make sense to a lot of people. What's up with Schwartz? And I want to know what the dynamic is with Schwartz, whether he has total autonomy to do whatever he wants, because that's what kind of the thing we're hearing right now.
That's pretty much true. I mean, and if they view him as kind of the head coach of the defense. He's got autonomy as a coach when it comes to that side of the football. Doug Peterson lets him do his thing. And then Howie Roseman and management allow him to have significant sway over what that defense looks like. That doesn't mean that he's controlling personnel, but he definitely has a strong voice, which leads to that press conference yesterday where I thought there was a total lack of accountability from Schwartz in that press conference. I mean, when he was asked about the linebackers on the roster, he said that's a Doug Peterson and a Howie Roseman thing. And that lacks accountability. The defensive side is more you than it is Peterson, and it's suggesting that all of a sudden you're washing your hands of that. But no, if you have fingerprints on that, you have to own that. You know, when he talked about that third and eight play, it was more, there wasn't any of like, I could have done a better job. I should have had a better play call for that. Instead, it was more like, oh no, you just got beat by a veteran quarterback. So I didn't really like the things that I was hearing. The other one was about the timeouts. That one I accept a little bit more. That is kind of Peterson's thing, but he could have backed his coach up there and been like, I could have communicated better about the situation that was hand. So I thought that was besides a poor showing on the field, I thought it was a poor showing at his press conference yesterday.
You know, I think that most people got the same read on that because he kind of threw him under the bus twice. He threw the head coach, one with the linebacker comment, the other with the timeout comment. So I'm just wondering, how does that play with the organization here?
I mean, I don't think it can play particularly well. I don't know that it's going to be any kind of like fracturing point between the organization. And I guess you could say that maybe Schwartz was just trying to work his way out of a question as opposed to trying not to assign blame to himself. But when all of these questions come up and there's zero in a moment where there definitely could have been like, point fingers at me, I'm taking ownership for that. We've seen him do it before, but in this case, he chose not to, and I don't think it plays well for anybody.
All right, we have a skill position, an interesting situation here, because it looks like both DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey will be back and ready to play. How does this affect what their lineup is going to be?
I think, number one, you can't take Fulgham out. Now, that's a sentence I didn't think I would ever utter in my life, but I don't think that you can take Travis Fulgham out of the lineup right now. He just went for 10 and a buck 50, and the week before that, he scored a game-winning touchdown for you. So I think he's earned it, and I think that, you know, this season has to be largely about discovering what you have on this roster, and especially some of the young talent. That's all the more reason he's being productive, and you got to see what his upside is and whether he can continue it. So I think he stays in the lineup. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, for the past 3 weeks, I've seen improvement for the small glimpses that we get into practice. It looks like he's moving better, and that continued today. He looked better today than he did last week, and the same from the week before. And it seemed like he might have even been on track to play in that Pittsburgh game, but then got sick, and it held him back. So I think that he will, he has a chance to play in this game, Mike, but I also don't think they're going to give him the full plate of snaps. So to me, that means like, you know, snaps that would have gone to like J.J. Arcega-White's side, maybe they go now to Alshon Jeffrey, and then you can put DeSean Jackson in the starting lineup if he's ready to go, because he practiced all 3 days last week and still ended up not playing. So we'll have to see how that hamstring reacts this week.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right. Now let's talk about another guy that might be in out of the lineup or out of the lineup completely. And this is the Lane Johnson situation. I mean, well, what's going to happen with Lane Johnson on Sunday?
Well, he got a second opinion after being in and out of the lineup again. And that second opinion deemed that he doesn't need surgery again. And so I think what's going to happen is he's going to try to gut it out and be back on that field this week against the Ravens. We know how he's wired. He's wired very much like John Runyon. Like if the leg is still on, he's going to try to play on it. But we have seen this ankle be problematic. He had surgery right before the start of the season. You can question whether he had enough time of recovery before coming back. It's been an issue all year long, and Doug Peterson has already acknowledged that this is something that he's going to have to play with all season long. And the issue becomes, if he comes in and out of the lineup, you know, that's a tough draw for Jack Driscoll. Like, if he's playing, practicing all week with the first team, that's one thing. But if you have to keep coming in kind of raw, that's something else. And, you know, I have legitimate concern that that's going to be something that's going to be happening all year long here.
All right, talk to me about Miles Sanders. Big run last week, and then just completely shut down. The week before, they didn't trust him to give him the ball because they're worried about him turning it over. What is he right now to them?
Well, they say that he is their three-down back, that he is their feature guy. I asked Doug Peterson about Le'Veon Bell today, and, you know, are you guys going to sniff around? Are you going to make a play for him? He's like, we're happy with our guys, and Miles Sanders is a three-down back. And that begs the question, well, you know, if he's running hot last week, how does he only end up with 11 carries? I mean, you know, to me that was inexcusable. And I recognize that Pittsburgh entered that game as the number one rush defense in the NFL. They were only giving up 54 yards per game on the ground on average. And so I understand that. But he, when you break off a 76-yarder, when he already has two touchdowns, when he is coming in way motivated because he's playing in his hometown, you keep riding that. And so that was, I think, you know, the offense did start to find itself a little bit in that game. I think there were some encouraging signs, but to not have Miles Sanders featured more, I think, was a mistake. And I think that they have to, that's something that they need to correct for sure for this week.
All right, last question. The left tackle has survived so far. Is he playing well, or is he just surviving? Are they comfortable with it, Mailata, now? And I ask that for Tyrone, because that's his man.
That's his boy.
Yeah.
So the first game, he seemed to grade out very well. Last week, it was less perfect, I think, but they were still generally happy, given the way that he performed. You know, second start against Bud Dupree. It's a tough assignment, and he held up okay. I mean, you know, my thought is if it continues on this trend where he's capable, your best move might be to keep Mailata at left tackle. And then when Jason Peters gets healthy, put him back at right guard. I don't know if he's going to give back his money, but I think
he's banked that already, so he might as well go back to guard.
Yeah, he's already banking that. He's not giving that check back to Howie, right?
So, yeah.
And the biggest problem along the offensive line has been Matt Pryor. It just has. And so you solve that by putting Peters in theory there while keeping Mailata at left tackle. And so that could be a big boon for this team. If Mailata continues to develop and show something, you know, that gives them some options this year and moving forward.
Do you have any sense that what's in Zach Ertz's head right now?
Yeah, I've been digging on this. What I'm told is that he's locked in, that the contract is not affecting him, that if you look at one statistic that kind of grabs my attention is that this is according to Pro Football Focus, Mike. So he's been targeted by Carson Wentz 33 times so far this year. Only 21 of those are deemed catchable. So you're talking about 12 of those targets, or 40 some odd percent of his targets that aren't even deemed catchable by this metric. And Ertz has caught 20 out of those 21 catchable balls. I think a lot of this falls on the quarterback, honestly. I mean, I think that when I look at like the max speed that Ertz is getting, the average speed Ertz is getting, it's the same as last year and the year before that. When you look at the average separation, it's the same as last year. Him being out of sync with Carson Wentz, I think, is the main factor here. Now, I'm a human being. You're a human being. You recognize that if you're feeling rejected from a team, that even if you're putting every bit of energy that you have into it, like, could it be that you're just not firing quite as much as you would if you were at ease mentally? I think that's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. But I think if Wentz gets right, we're going to see Ertz at least start to look more like himself.
All right. Timmy, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the info.
All right, Mike, you got it.
There he is, Tim McManus, covering Eagles for the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.